You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are still hanging out with Ben.
Still here.
He's still
back
here.
With Ben.
I'm happy about it. Back with Ben. It's like some show. Like The Kylo Show.
Back with Ben.
Back with Ben. When I was a kid, there was a show called Gentle Ben. Mm. Oh. It was a story about a bear. A little boy and a bear.
There's lots of movies with bears.
Someone's reminiscing with you right now.
Flipper, too. Flipper was a dolphin.
Yes.
I remember Flipper.
I don't remember Gentle Ben.
Nothing about Ben and Flipper.
Mm. No.
But we got there.
You got there. I don't even know what Ben and Flipper supposed
Flipper
to be.
Flipper Ben.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What was the your name for Hunger Games series that came out a long time ago? Mm-hmm. He had to be one of the characters for a youth camp.
We did a youth camp.
And his name was something like Flipper Ben.
Oh, really?
Cheese or Flicker Ben.
Okay, see?
Because I got the blue wig and the blue suit, and my whole character the whole week was on the stage during announcements and different things was to be the guy with the cheesy jokes.
I don't know his name.
Cheese or Flicker Ben. Mm. Wasn't my idea, but I went with it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, yeah. So that's how we got Flicker Ben. That's a Flipper. Anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about, though. But you're welcome for that little story. Mm-hmm. All sorts of fun stories come out when Ben's here. We're actually still going to be continuing our culture creed series. We've had some fun guests, and I love those guys. That was entertaining, for sure. But we're kind of really diving into how to clarify this call and understanding the mission that you're set apart for as a family, really, and to say it that way. And I think the Bible has some good families in there that's been highlighted that knew their calling.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting that the Bible calls families.
I know.
It says, hey, family, come up. I mean, Book of Numbers is like, oh my gosh. You know, it's like family after family after family. After the son of
the descendant of the descendant of the descendant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those names are always my favorite to try, and you just keep going through all these names. I'm like, wow, that's a really interesting way to spell that. Ooh. Or how do you say that?
Lots of begats.
That's true.
Yeah.
Begat this.
I think, you know, Noah, Abraham, David, Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. Those are some good family names.
Totally.
You know, lasted a long time. But I think the idea that we identify that each of them gets called with a mission. Mm-hmm. Like, here is why you're here. This is why you've been assigned, or how you've been assigned. And that seems to be vague and broken down these days.
Mm-hmm. And I think those names you just mentioned too, the Noah, the David, the Nehemiah, it really represents for me and kind of gives us a glimpse into what the Lord was trying to do when he built the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. and then put it on display on the earth is that it really happens through families. Mm-hmm. And I think just to your point, Danny, you know, this thing's starting to break down to the point that we have devalued families or let that message get quieter. Mm-hmm. That it's this standard or this idea that the Lord's put in front of us in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Just doesn't seem as strong as it used to be, but that's why we're here. That's what we're doing today.
Yep. This kind of goes back to whole healthy families are going to save the world, because it's almost like there's an assignment to get rid of the family.
Yep. Almost.
To like eliminate the expansion of the kingdom of God and to populate the earth more than ever with the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of confusion and division and selfish ambition and pride and arrogance. And it's amazing to me how blatant people are these days about there is no God. Mm-hmm. There is no meaning in life. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like do what you can while you're here, get all that you can, because you're just going to go to a hole in the ground. Like, wow, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard of. Like, what in life are you not accountable for? Like, how in the, what, where, how, help me, somebody help me. Somebody help me try to get to the only place in life I'm not accountable is in life. That's the only place. I'm accountable for a speed limit. I'm accountable for my taxes. I'm accountable to a spouse. I'm accountable to a child. I'm accountable to an employer. I'm accountable for pretty much everything in my life except being here. Okay. Okay. That's a fantastic story.
And not true.
No, but that the breakdown of the agenda and the... really the plan that we've been seeing just escalate more and more over the years is, how do we diminish and dissolve family? How do we minimize their impact, their calling, their priority, their value, their worth? I mean, it is everywhere. We watched this movie last night, and I actually didn't know if I was going to like it, but it was a good movie. And at the end of it, it's I'm gonna spoil it for you, so sorry. The father, he's this weird time travel thing, and he's got a younger son and the adult son, and he's talking to his adult son, who's basically decided to be angry because he lost his father and all this stuff. But the dad knows how crucial it is to be a father, and he just takes this moment, like it's a few moments they have left, and just says, "I love you." And he says, "I love you," 50 times in different ways. "I'm so proud of you. I love you. I'm here for you. I've always loved you. You are my son." To this adult man who has spent his whole life being angry because he didn't believe this or he forgot it. And this, it was just crazy.
Powerful.
Because it was just like, this is what the world wants, is for their father to say, "I love you, I'm proud of you," and to have that place of connection. And really what happened is the little boy, that the younger version of this guy, again, time travel is weird, but he says, "I won't be okay without you." And he goes, "No, look at yourself. Look how amazing you become. Yeah. Look how strong you are." And it's just this is what we need, is really for the clarifying and the willingness to almost get uncomfortable with chasing and fighting for family. And so the whole thing got to the end of this dad realizes, I need to turn my attention towards my family in a way that I'm not right now, because that's the most important thing.
And I think just the part that was highlighted to me in that scene, which we watched it together as we were falling asleep.
You fell asleep, I didn't fall asleep.
Okay. But
I wasn't even there, so I'm in third place. You're in second place, Ben.
That'd be a whole different story. Yeah. And then Danny was right between us.
Awkward.
But this...
me and Rosie.
Exactly, Rosie. The dog's the in between dog. Us. But he's just going after his son, "I love you." And his son's getting uncomfortable, visibly uncomfortable. And he's like, "Stop. Like, I know." He's like, "You don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep telling you till you believe it." Mm-hmm. But it's just this moment that, I mean, it felt so prophetic to me. I was like, "Lord, what are you doing right now?" Mm-hmm. Like, through this silly movie and this scene, there's this thing that's happening, I think, that's so important, which is something happens inside families when we're willing to be vulnerable and show up that I don't know happens anywhere else. So, I don't know. I mean, we could tell them the title of the movie, or maybe they can stumble across it, and we didn't actually spoil it for them. Oh. But, it was powerful.
I think it's called The Adam Project.
Okay, you told him.
But
there you go.
I do. What I find crazy is that the role that you have to realize in when it comes to a family, it has to start with a mother and a father.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to start with the willingness to, "I'm going to lead, I'm going to help define, I'm going to come under the covering of the Lord, and I'm going to say, this is what I believe God's called us to be. This is what He brought these two people together that have this gifting and this call in their life, and we're going to go and make a family." And in that family are all these giftings. Sure, the children as individuals have their own and all that, but they just add to it. But there has to be a father and a mother willing to say, this is who we are. This is who we're called to be. And then we have to lead in it for there actually to be that fulfillment of assignment.
Yeah, and this goes back to whole and healthy.
Yes, it does. You know,
because whole and healthy can pass that message on. Whole and healthy can pass on, I believe in you. Mm-hmm. I trust you. Yep. Here's my strength. Here's my energy. Here's my resources to live on and lead your family and for them to learn to lead their family. I mean, how much greater belief can God communicate except he gives assignments to families?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I believe in you and your family mm-hmm. throughout eternity.
Yep.
You know, here's your assignment. Go. This is who you've been built to be yeah. for these purposes. And for the family to grab that, identify that, teach their children in that. Like, you know, when you walk along the path, teach your children. Mm-hmm. When you sit in your home, teach your children. When you have conversations at the table, teach your children. When you are out in the field working, teach your children. Teach them what? Here's why we are alive. This is who we are.
Mm-hmm. I was going to add, I think you're both kind of highlighting what we like to talk about, which is Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he being that book and that man's life, he illustrates this so well when he, you know, he returns to Jerusalem and they start building the wall. And then he separates them into the tribes and the families. And they're fighting a hard fight. Like, there is enemies coming against them, trying to break down the wall and break down the family. And, you know, so they start fighting with a spear in the hand and a tool in the other. But the piece that is always highlighted to me is they're doing it in a family unit. And then he actually assigns them to their part of the wall. And he said, this is your part of the wall to build. And when I first read that years ago, I read that and thought, this is what the Lord's trying to tell us about families. Is each of us have a significant, unique part of the wall in the kingdom to build. That's mm-hmm. that's God's call on our family.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about. It just illustrates this point for me that where is our part of the wall? What's the circle's job in this wall? You know, what's the call in our life that we will pass down for generations? Yeah. That this is who we are. This is what we do. What we lead in, and then our kids learn how to build the wall, and they pick it up and they keep it going. But mm-hmm. it just feels like such a beautiful illustration for me that has shaped so much of this for us.
Yeah. And it's looking at it as a generational mindset, in that if we want our children to reproduce something, we've going to have to be able to teach them how to do that. So how do you create culture? How do you prioritize it? I mean, we talk about it so much. I'm pretty sure our kids could get on here and talk about this on our podcast, which might be actually pretty darn hilarious. But, you know, they, when we talk about culture and we go places or we are in an environment that is different than our culture, they immediately know it's because these people are not living from the same culture. And it's usually an obvious cultural difference, like parents being respectful and honoring towards their kids, and or parents letting their children run the house and, you know, and they're the ones setting the culture rather than the parents, which happens all the time. And, you know, there's, I think I watch our children be in these environments where there's clear cultural differences and they are so uncomfortable and it's so funny to watch.
What's happening right now? What's happening right now?
Does anyone else see this? Is anyone else on? And they're going to have to go out in the world, obviously, and they are got all different opportunities to do that. But it is funny how they come home from these experiences and they so quickly want to get back to
safety.
Yeah, this place that, man, we value each other. The girls were fighting over something the other day. I don't know what. Lainey was being snippy. Adeline just kept saying, every time I do this, you say these things and it doesn't feel good. And I'm just laughing at Adeline is communicating her pain in Lainey's sarcastic or belittling responses as the older sister. And I just stopped them both. I said, Lainey, your sister's trying to communicate. Are you hearing her? And immediately Lainey's body language changes and she's like, yes, I do. And I said, do you want her to experience that from you? She's like, no. I said, okay, great. Well, I would love for you to continue your movie as soon as you've worked out what you're going to do with your sister. And, you know, they might not like it in the moment, but that's what they call safety, mm-hmm. is that we have worked really hard, that they have really great relationships because we put a priority that siblings fighting, you know, it sometimes it gets crazy. There's brawls happening at other people's houses. We don't ever do that because we've stopped it way back here. Mm-hmm. And respect and love and honor is really...
We have this thing hanging on the wall in our living room.
It's true, we do.
You know, and we've mentioned it a few times, but it's kind of what this whole theme is about, mm-hmm. is we are identifying ourselves to ourselves and moving along the lines of, this is what we talk about. This is what we govern. This is what's rewarded. This is what feels violated. This, you know, this piece of family culture literally is written down, hanging on the wall in our living space. Mm-hmm. And how'd you guys end up creating that?
Well, it was really the two of you that jumped in the...
That's what I meant by you guys.
Not you, gal. Uh-huh. I think, realistically, we came down to Sacramento area and all of the safety nets of Bethel's culture, Bethel School, BCS for the kids, you know, the Christian school. I worked in the children's department. I mean, the youth department, everywhere. They were just in this bubble of the whirlpool that you've talked about before, you know, of culture. And so when we moved down here, there was still a current, but it wasn't strong enough to actually have some momentum in it, it felt like. And I think that's helped the momentum that we needed to figure out what we were going to do, because
it kind of revealed where we were.
Sure. And our kids were really young. I mean, Lincoln was 2, Addie was 4, Lane was about 8. I mean, it was a very young family, and but it clearly became our kids are going to go to public school for the first time ever. Our kids don't have any friends. We don't have any friends. We're helping a church, but everybody lives 40 minutes away. This is really weird. We're running 7 minutes away. So that kind of, I think, gave us an awareness that we needed to do something. I don't know that we did something right away, but we had this awareness. So there was a lot of attention to it. It's kind of like, you know, you can take a cake out of the oven. It's hot. You're like, I got to put this down, but I need something to put on the table before I put it down. You know, that's kind of what I felt like we were walking around with. Like, mm-hmm. where are we supposed to set this? It's really precious, and it could be dangerous. We just put it down anywhere. So
yeah.
But then you guys came up with.
Yeah, so I mean, it started there. You know, there's this festering thing happening for Brittany and I, and what is the Serple family about? Outside of what this great culture we're part of for so long has told us we were. And it's no one's fault. It's, you know, I think it's part of the journey of a family at some level is we are a part of a greater community. We do get some identity and some connection there, but then we have to figure out what we are as well on the inside. So, you know, that's happening. And then I'm also going to school. I end up in my social work bachelor's program. Did I say that correctly? There's just all these thoughts in my head about healthy families, and I'm just watching and hearing stories of families that are not healthy and having a hard time and struggling. And so how do we start helping? And this question of how do we help, I remember sitting at some barbecue place in Rancho Cordova near Sacramento with Danny and pulled a napkin out, and we started scribbling on a napkin, which is where great things normally start, right? And
barbecue places, yep.
Barbecue place, I meant napkin, but.
Yeah.
Barbecue napkins. Yeah, so it just kind of this scribble session begun, and we in this journey to help families, what happened is we realized we should help ourselves first. Like, we actually need to clarify what we want to give away. So it really got us to this idea of building a culture grid, which I love the name. You know, it's this old kind of idea of building a credo of what we deeply believe in, mm-hmm. who we really are at a deep level. And so we started thinking through, and then Danny really came up with the questions for us. So I'll let you share those three questions. But
yeah, well, I think this idea of identifying your family culture and or, you know, when I work with companies and large churches these days, I help them discover it. We call it the always and nevers at mm-hmm. this point, but it's in essence, it's a code of conduct. It's like, this is how we will behave with each other. These are the things that we will pursue. And when you're breaking down, you know, something to apply to 2-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 8-year-olds, you're like, okay, all right. So, so what are we, what is the strength of our yeah. of our family? You know, fill in the blank. Like, what would we say are our strengths? And then what are our passions? What do we love to do? What do we, you know, what are we good at? What do we, you know, what do we want to be famous for? And then legacy, which literally is, what will we be famous for? Mm-hmm. What will be the ongoing residual effect of our combo pack called family? Mm-hmm. And you just spend time, you know, with Skittles and
popcorn and the promise of a movie
and conversation. We get to, you know, we get to gather around purpose and assignment and identity. And it's wet cement. You know, you write it down, you look at it, you kind of wordsmith it a little bit until all of a sudden it feels doable, and then just give it to Ashley and she'll write it on the wall.
Yeah, I know. Ashley will make it beautiful for us. That came years later, though.
I know.
So, yeah. But we did. We did all that and asked those questions. I mean, it was a process of words all over the place. I mean, I think Adeline has forever had a love for loving on purpose. And I think she even said, you know, what are we famous for? And she said, loving on purpose. Loving. What is our passion? Loving on purpose. Okay, yeah. What's the strength? Loving on purpose. All right, Adeline, you are the spokeschild for loving on purpose. But, and it did. It was this, it wasn't seamless or perfect. It was a bunch of words, but the high value that we had for them to participate in helped them have ownership. And that's what we've been looking for. And we've reflected on it, you know, and we ask questions like, does this still feel true to us? And obviously we took their 8, 5 and maybe 11. I think it was like 11 wordsmith and made it into more of a statement piece. But, you know, they're now there's times where they get to point back and that I've seen that happen. I've seen us do that.
So who's going to read it?
Go for it.
All right. So our Serple family culture creed that we created sounds something like this. Actually, exactly like this.
I was going to say something like this.
The strength of our family is loving, helping, and protecting people. Sorry. Excuse me. The passion of our family is to have fun, try our best, dream big dreams, and to encourage others. And our legacy is to strengthen other families, live generously, and to steward our inheritance well. And I
that about sums it up.
That's we just read it recently. We were sitting in the living room with the kids and we paused for a moment and said, let's read this real quick. And it just always feels so sharpening and so encouraging and just a great reminder. But I was thinking about the first family that actually took this through. Mm-hmm. So I probably did this with multiple families. Once we put a thing together in a mm-hmm. I had a 6-week family. Something.
Coaching. Strengthening.
Arrows.
There we go. Arrows family strengthening culture thing that we did. Had a some great name. But
it was mostly you. I wasn't involved very
that
much.
That first family I took through it, I remember talking to the wife about a year later. And she said when we first put it together, she was like, it's all right. It's helpful, I think. And a year later, she picked it back out of her filing cabinet. And she went, I'm so glad we did this. This is us.
Yeah.
And it was just like the time between making it and then reading it again, going, no, this is still true. This is us. It just did something for them. So I think that's part of it too, is like it may not be the thing that lights you up right away because it's so fresh and wet cement, but you'll be so happy that you spent time doing this.
You will. And that's exactly what happens, is you see it as kind of a exercise. And then eventually you begin to recognize that identifies us.
Yeah.
There's identity on those words there. Yeah. And so the family creed is something that is a product of your time, energy, and effort to gather and discuss and identify. So it's it's definitely a worthy process.
Yeah. I think there's, I mean, the words I can think of the kids pulling out most recently was that we try our best. And they've all had their different version of trying their best, you know, whenever they get on a rant of, you just want me to be perfect. I said, no, no, no. I've asked you to try your best.
You do or do not. Yeah. There is no try. Yeah.
And then it's usually, are you trying your best? No, I'm not. Okay, that's what I want from you. And, you know, there's different parts that we've pulled out, you know, loving and helping and protecting other people. Again, there's, it's fun when they can highlight it. And but it's been an interesting, there's something on the timing that the Lord has you do this. And it sometimes, you know, when we did it, I was like, I don't know when this is going to feel like it's going to be needed or relevant. And even all the different families that have we've done this with, it's just revealing how much the Lord's like, oh, you were going to need it for such a time as this. It wasn't maybe necessarily the time that you created it, but it's like that anchor. It really does feel like the anchor that is helping you solidify, oh, this is what we're called to. Oh, this storm is really, really intense, but we have an anchor. So that's just the encouragement of you. I don't know what season you're in and interested in doing it, but it's worth doing it. It's important, I think. And you know, the fun part about you and I doing this together is we actually have been creating and developing some fun things with this. And what we're about to do is we're going to actually do a Culture Creed challenge.
Yeah.
So we haven't done that yet.
Exciting.
And it'll be interesting. It'll be just, you know, us talking about the Culture Creed and different things that we feel are needed and are valuable. But it, you know, everything we've been talking about, just going back to this unique calling on a family, it does feel like there is a strategy that the Lord has that you don't know behind creating this. And so really, if you're interested in joining the Culture Creed Challenge, you're going to want to check out culturecreedchallenge.com. And it's should be fun. I'm excited. I'm kind of excited, nervous. Like, I'm like, what are we going to do? It's going to be great. But maybe I'm excited, nervous because it's the most us stuff.
Yeah. And if you don't have a Culture Creed currently, then you want to jump on this.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely going to prove its worth when your family gets tested.
Yeah.
And you're gonna want something to come back to that we've all agreed to, that we all said this is who we are, because everyone has to steer themselves in the same direction. And if you don't have a road, you know, if you don't have something to steer yourself on, then everybody kind of scatters into the bushes. And if you have a young family and or a dynamic family, join in.
Yeah.
I was going to add that piece right there. I think a lot of people disqualify themselves when they hear this, because they're like, our kids are too young. We just started out. Our kids are too old. We missed the opportunity. Whatever. I mean, there's just 25 different excuses I'm sure that you could find. One of my favorite stories is actually in Seven Habits of Highly Effective Families, where he does something similar to this. And he talks about these two teenage girls that he takes away to do something like this. And they're just complaining and upset the whole time. This is stupid, Dad. Why are we doing this? I don't want to do this. They get away, and they do an exercise kind of like this, similar. And they come home going, I'm so glad we spent time doing that. Mm-hmm. And it just resets and shifts the direction of the family. So if you're finding yourself, as we're talking about this, going, yeah, but I am, but it's different. I'm a single parent. I think this fits all families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, because the reality that you've got a culture happening already is real. And the purpose of this is to do it on purpose, as you are adjusting the chaotic being happened to the intentional, purposeful, driven culture. So awesome. The Culture Creed Challenge is coming up. Again, if you're interested, visit theculturecreedchallenge.com, and it should be fun. But we're going to go ahead and jump into our questions now.
Oh, good.
So we'll see you in a minute. All right, well, we're going to jump into our questions, which if you want to submit a question or a testimony, you are going to go to thekyloshow.com, and there you get to actually record your question or testimony. We love them. They're always fun to hear, so please share with us. But today's question comes to us from Sierra.
Hey, guys. Love so much what you do. I'm here with a question for you. I have been vacationing with my extended family and my parents for about 24 years. I'm 26 years old, and I got married 5 years ago, so my husband and I have also been vacationing with them 3 weeks a year, every year. And I think the older I get, I realize that it is a very dysfunctional relational environment with a lot of passivity, passive aggressiveness, hurt feelings, unwillingness to talk about it. And I think over time, just all of it kind of builds on top of each other, and everybody seems frustrated and hurt, and no one's willing to talk about it. I've done my best to be powerful in this environment for the past 5 years, but just realizing as time goes on that I actually don't feel that this is a very healthy environment to be in for 3 weeks a year for myself and my family. And yeah, I guess I'm just asking for advice. I really want to love my family and I want to invest in the relationship. But what do I do when I don't feel like it is a healthy environment to be in for my family and I, but still want to love them? Like, how do I pursue connection, but do my best to guard my heart and my life and the hearts and lives of my family? So let me know if you have any answers or thoughts. Thank you so much.
Vacationing with the family.
Family vacation. Yeah.
Well, that's a long vacation if it's a solid 3 weeks every time.
Yeah, I wonder. Oof.
I don't know. That's a solid vacation. Yeah. Nearly a month every year.
Yeah, I can only imagine the feelings that lead us to get there every year if we're all hurt and twisted up and we still do it.
Yeah.
Like, woof. I'm not real clear on what the question is, other than
I think what she's trying to figure out is a little, which Sierra, I'm going to speak for you. I'm sorry if this is wrong, but it sounds like she's trying to figure out, should I keep doing this 3 week vacation when I feel the environment probably feels pretty powerless, and I don't know that they have kids. I didn't hear kids in there, but she's her family. So her and her husband do this, and she sounds like she's feeling pretty powerless, and I'm around really hurtful people for 3 weeks, and mm-hmm. I don't think she wants to do it anymore.
Right. So there's got to be some reason that this whole family gets together miserably for 3 weeks every year. So what is that? What is there some looming punishment? There's got to be. You know, there's got to be something.
If you don't go, Grandma will... Mm-hmm.
All this, you know.
Sure, we're making up stories now, Sierra, but you're not here to help us.
Right. So I'm at this point, I'm wondering, well, why hasn't somebody said, I'm not wasting 3 weeks of my off time to go participate in this? So, you know, you're going to have to face that first. Like, okay, there's something that's overriding your sense of healthy boundaries already, mm-hmm. are you prepared to pay the piper, essentially? Because as soon as you step out of this thing, here it comes.
Yeah.
You know, here comes the whole family says, you know, you ruined our family vacation. Like, it wasn't me. It was broken before I got there.
I just pointed it out.
Yeah. So I'd be happy to participate in that if we're going to ever clear the air and, mm-hmm. and work on making this an enjoyable experience. Yeah. But if not, then we're going to go create our 3-week enjoyable time where we're all having a good time and managing our family creed.
Or maybe it looks like, we'll meet you there, but we're not going to stay in the same house. You know, we're going to have another level of boundary. Last night's dinner was really hard. I think we're going to stay home and just hang out and do dinner at our place. Maybe we'll catch up with you. I'll text you tomorrow. You know, maybe that even is a first layer. But I think if it's her in-laws and her parents, her husband's got to figure out if this is something he wants as well. Because otherwise, you're playing a tug of war mm-hmm. as well, which it gets real messy real fast.
Yeah. Yeah. The in-law situation. Yeah. I guess the healthy boundary, getting back to the healthy mm-hmm. boundary, like what am I going to do with me no matter what you do with you? And are you living consistently? But you got to have communication. There's got to be like, hey, guys, there's a vacation coming up and da 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 da. And here's what's been increasingly decreasing over the years, which is the feeling of connection and respect and joy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just increasingly difficult to find joy in our family vacation. And that's what they're all about, supposedly. You know, supposedly they're supposed to be enjoyable. Mm-hmm. We are not going to be there if we don't fix some stuff that's costing us enjoyment.
Yep.
Yeah. And that goes back to your famous line of truthing.
Yes.
Got to tell the truth.
It's truthing. And I'm not going to tell you about you. I'm going to mm-hmm. tell you about me. I'm not going to tell you what's wrong with you. I'm not going to tell you what you need to fix. I'm just going to tell you what I am not enjoying and what I need mm-hmm. for it to be enjoyable.
Hopefully it gets better, Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we talked so long in the first segment that we were just going to jump straight into our testimony because we were having too much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So our testimony for today comes to us from Jen.
So I just want to say how much Kylo has meant to me. And here's an example of something that happened a few years ago. About 6 or 7 years, our family of four was peacefully driving down the road when my quiet and sensitive child broke the silence with these words. Mama, sometimes I feel like you're the bull and I'm wearing the red and you just keep charging me. Without thinking, I retorted, well, then stop wearing red. But I was also quite stunned after my gut reaction, and I was trying so hard to be a good mom, a patient mom, and reverse my own childhood experiences by being a good mom with my own kids. And now my own DNA just told me I was a bull, a sweating, frothing bull, charging my helpless young. So I sat there for a while and some of the Kylo book ran through my brain and I thought, okay, I can either deny, resist, justify, or I can clean up my mess. So I did choose to clean up my mess. I owned my behavior and asked him to forgive me. And he was so quick to say, yes, Mama, I love you. So this was a huge win and it restored our heart connection. And he's been a relatively easy child, but my daughter, she has an entirely different personality than my son. And I will never forget how shocked I was after I humbled myself, owned my behavior, and then asked her, will you forgive me? And she looked at me with dagger eyes and said, I'll decide tomorrow. I was in a state of shock. But I tried not to show it and just said, okay, honey, I love you no matter what you decide. Oh, gosh, that was hard. But anyway, her strong temperament often makes me feel like I am now the one wearing the red and she is the bull who keeps charging me. And the most difficult thing for me in that moment is remembering my one-liners and saying them calmly while I'm being charged by an angry, hormonal 13-year-old female. So the good news is I am excited to say that I am getting better at being calm and giving out those one-liners instead of an entire TED talk on being respectful to her mother. So especially recently, as I've been intentionally marinating in the Kylo concepts and the Kylo community, I have really felt empowered and encouraged because I had kind of slunk into some despair at my own incompetency at Kylo. But just being in the community has kind of reignited me, re-encouraged me that, yes, I can be a powerful person. So I want to thank you, Danny and Brittany and the Kylo team, for all you're doing. This is helping our family break generations of anti-Kylo behavior. And we are rewiring our minds and hearts, and we are rewriting our story for us and for our future generations. Thank you so much.
That's great. Well,
that's an awesome testimony.
That's great.
I just love how colorful she is in describing the bull.
Yeah.
I'm yeah. the bull now.
Anti-Kylo.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Here Rolling comes out. Stickers. That's funny.
That's super good.
She's doing a great job, it sounds like, in first staying calm when you, as a parent, are being told, you know, you're a bully or you're unforgivable by the hormonal 13-year-old female.
I wonder what she decided. You know, I'll let you know tomorrow.
Dagger eyes.
Yeah. But being calm.
So good.
And then having tools that protect your connection, they change the game so much for the long-term, you know, culture that you're chasing after. And, you know, she's mentioning the Kylo community, which is awesome. I don't know if our listeners know all of what the Kylo community is, but it's that. It's a community of people that are like-minded, that are encouraging, challenging, sharing stories, asking questions.
I'm hoping that she's in the Kylo community.
That's what she's saying. She said, I love the Kylo community. It's helping me strengthen myself.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure if she meant like in general or if she's actually in there.
I don't think anyone calls it Kylo community unless they're in the Kylo community.
Oh, we'll never
I'm
know.
Pretty
I
sure. Guess I'm pretty
look
sure.
It up. I have to look
Jen,
it up.
When you hear this, tag yeah. Danny in the Kylo community because I'm pretty sure
here
he's
I am.
In it.
Here I am. If not, then get in there. Okay, get in there.
I'm pretty sure he's in there. But yeah, that's a great testimony and encouraging. I think that sometimes we don't want to share testimony because we're still in the process of it. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we're always in a process of a testimony, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you never know what little bit you share is going to be just a huge stepping stone for someone else. So
progress.
Yeah. I think that, you know, what you were just describing, that staying calm thing is self-control. Like you got to control you. And so many parents think that the idea of family harmony is me controlling you. And eventually all my control freak comes out. So, mm-hmm. I've been saying lately, it's like, if you want to be a control freak, control your freaking self. That yes. is how this works. Jen is doing exactly that. She's controlling her freaking self.
Well done.
And that changes the dynamic to where she then can use the one-liners. Mm-hmm. She can then be patient. She can then announce what she'll be doing instead of what everybody under the sun has to do, which she has no control over, which makes you feel powerless and crazy. And then eventually you're acting like you were trained to act as a child, and now you resemble these parents who said, I will never do what they did, and whoop, they just jumped out of your mouth again.
Yeah. Her cleaning up her mess, too, is a great, just a great victory as to display the value of
repentance.
Yeah, and that no one is called to a different standard, that we're all at the same expectation as far as ownership, repentance.
We're all playing by the same rules.
And leading in forgiveness. You know, I think the same thing goes when a child repents, we have to lead with forgiveness. And so she's doing a good job of owning that piece. That's often really hard for parents is to say the I'm sorry piece. Mm-hmm. But it is a crucial part, I think. So
yeah, otherwise you create two cultures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the parents' culture and there's the children's culture. Mm-hmm. And it's the ruling culture and the knave culture. You know, like we will be doing whatever we want to do, mm-hmm. but you have to play by the rules.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, this is hypocrisy and this is going to come back and bite you.
Yeah.
Or you can participate in a single culture back to this credo, you know, this family creed, as developed as you want to get it. It turns into this is what we've agreed to behave going forward. And it's kind of innate in the way we command respect, responsibility, and self-control. But you can spell that out in how we're going to actually handle our relational dynamics.
Yeah. Really good.
Which that's how she ended, was this legacy piece, which is what we're talking about. It's just, it was like it was on purpose, but it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's the, we are changing our family's experience
mm-hmm.
for generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep. Awesome.
It's always encouraging.
Yeah. Well done, Jen. Yeah. Way to change the generations to come after you for mm-hmm. chasing after the whole healthy families are going to save the world. We love it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us on The Kyla Show, and we will see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kyla Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kyla Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.